Welcome to the Hockey News Action Show, presented by BetMGM McKennedy Hockey. I am Mike Stevens. Sitting virtually across from me is the one and only future first female gem in NHL history, Rachel Dorey. Rachel, how are you doing? Are you excited for this lovely slate of games we're going to tee up for everyone tonight?
I'm so excited. Hockey's back. Last night was great. A bunch of great games, great storylines. So I'm excited to get back into betting. I mean, you can't really bet on All-Star, right? You can, but it's kind of like wasting money because nobody tries. So, I mean, I'm happy we get to go games that matter, stories that actually matter. Like, I'm pretty fired up. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling that too. Listen, All-Star game's a lot of fun, and I will never tell you, you know, like, obviously gamble responsibly. If you are betting a lot on All-Star weekend, you might have some issues there. So maybe don't do that.
Always gamble responsibly.
Exactly. We have to say that. So let's talk about the games that are in store, on deck, however you want to say it. Tuesday night, let's start with Colorado and Pittsburgh. This seems like a rip-roaring type of hockey game. Two teams clawing in the wild card race. Take us through it.
Yeah, so what was interesting is I went back and I looked at just like teams coming out of All-Star breaks, right? Usually the hockey's kind of loosey-goosey because you're on a break, you've probably had one practice, maybe two if you're lucky. And so like it was interesting. So last night was like the first set of games back, and five of the six of them were one goal games. And I think we might see a lot of that trend tonight. And Colorado Pittsburgh is one of those games where I think it's gonna be a close game. I think it might be some river hockey. Like, both teams like to play fast. They like to kind of play that up and down style. And over the past few weeks, both teams are averaging more than 3.5 goals a game. Like, do you like scoring, Mike?
I love scoring, personally.
This might be the game for you then.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I mean, talk about special teams. Both have a top three power play in January. They're hoping to take that into February. Maybe we can get some power play props here.
Yeah. So both teams, like, a second and third ranked power play in January. The Penguins are giving up over 3.5 goals per game as well in January, which is a lot for the Penguins. And if you look at it, both teams have some really special talents, right? You've got Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen on one power play unit. And on another power play unit, you've got Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and then pick your poison, whether you've got Chris Letang, Jake Guentzel. Like, there's a lot here. I'm expecting some fireworks, maybe not some scoring, but if we're looking at a power play prop, Cale Makar is my guy. Everything seems to kind of run through him on the power play. So looking at him potentially to have some value on a power play point there.
Very cool. Now, what about shots?
Yeah, so both teams, they give up a ton of shots from the same positions. So they both give up a ton of shots from centers, and they both give up a ton of shots from D. And lo and behold, what are these teams' two offensive strengths? Centers and D. They both have really high-end players at those positions. So I'm looking at Colorado to score over the team total of 3.5. I think the game goes over because, I mean, we talked about the scoring, right? But look at the centers and the defensemen. Nathan MacKinnon over 4.5 shots has some value. Cale Makar over 2.5 shots has some value. So does Sidney Crosby at over 2.5. I think there's going to be a ton of power plays. I think there's going to be some river hockey here. And so for me, I look at this and I go, it's probably going to be some power play points here, and there's definitely going to be a lot of shots. So those are the three players I'm targeting.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to San Jose and Tampa Bay. Two teams in lovely tropical locales. But obviously, I mean, you know, they're two teams at different ends of the spectrum in the NHL standings. But Tampa Bay's kind of reeling right now.
Yeah. They got hammered last night, like 7-1 against Florida. They looked awful. Absolutely terrible. And Tampa has this like weird schedule quirk. So here's a fun fact for you. What do you think of this? So this season, Tampa wins a bunch, so they'll win like 5 or 6 straight. Then they'll lose 2 straight, and then they'll go back and win 5 straight. Like, I think there's only been twice this season where a loss, like the first loss, hasn't been followed by another loss. So, I mean, do you think San Jose has a chance tonight, just strictly based on that and the fact that Brian Elliott's going to be playing?
I was going to say, because this is one of those rare opportunities where we do know the starting goaltenders, or at least most of them, and Brian Elliott, look, he's not terrible, but he's definitely not Andre Vasilevsky. I mean, San Jose, they're a chippy team. They, you know, like they have some names on their roster. This could be a potential for them to really catch a Tampa Bay team. They just reeling off a huge loss, playing their backup goaltender, and on the second half of back to back. Could be an interesting potential there to get in, maybe get some under some good value.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's value on San Jose above 180. So if you can get like 190 or 200 on San Jose tonight, that's a value bet for me. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would caution is that in those losses, like we talked about the trend just now, Tampa didn't get trounced in any of those games. Given this team is a veteran team, I mean, it's a championship team. They know how to deal with stuff like this. I would be very careful. So perhaps if you can get San Jose plus 1.5, that's something that I think could be the bet here. If you're not inclined to take San Jose just straight up on the money line, because I mean, even if it's a one goal game, you win that bet. There's always that chance that Tampa bounces back, but we're talking about value here. And to me, there's value on that San Jose line tonight.
Mm-hmm. Now, although San Jose is giving up 4 goals per game of late, and then obviously we look at Tampa Bay having the, you know, like one of the best power plays in the league. How could those maybe factor in here?
Yeah. So San Jose has given up the most goals per game, in the month of January. They're averaging giving up 4 goals a game. I don't know how many hockey games you think you're going to win doing that, but it's not very many. So I think first of all, you're going to have to clamp down on that. But for this reason, I think we can both say, we assume Tampa's going to score more than 2 goals tonight, right?
Yeah, I can probably assume that.
Right. So I would say, like, it's probably a safe bet that Tampa scores at least 3. And if San Jose is going to win, they're going to need to score 4. So right there, that 6.5 number on the over, that's got some value for me. But, I mean, talk about the special teams. Tampa has the 3rd best PP this entire season. So it's not even just a month. It's the season. And, I mean, we know why. Like, look at who's on that unit. But San Jose, even though they're really poor this year, really good PK, 6th best in the league. And so I think that there's not a ton of value on the power play points tonight. And usually that's something we would look at here to say, like, okay, a good team's playing a really poor team. That probably means the special teams are lopsided. But that's not the case here. So if anything, I'd be betting the unders on power play points, and there's not a ton of value there either. So I would look at things like team totals, the over, and the value on the money line.
Yeah, San Jose, sneaky, really good penalty kill team even last year, and through 25 games of this season, they had the number 1 PK in the league, despite, you know, being a poor team record-wise. Very interesting. All right, Edmonton and Detroit. Edmonton, a team that is, you know, fighting to stay relevant in the playoff picture. We could be gearing up for an extremely good second half from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl to, you know, thrust their team into the playoffs. And it all starts here. So let's take it through here. Edmonton, obviously an incredible offensive team. Going to be some more of this riverboat hockey likely that you were talking about.
Yeah, so Edmonton's averaging more than 4.5 goals per game in their last 10 games. Is that good?
That's pretty good.
That seems good. So right now, I believe the Edmonton Oilers team total is 3.5. I would smash that over. I mean, you just kind of have to go with the trend at that point. Like, I get it in terms of, like, it's All-Star break. There was a break in between. Like, that's fine. But, like, 10 games is a quarter of the games that Edmonton has played. Like, that's a good sample size for this season. So for me, I'm taking over 3.5. Detroit is not fantastic in goal. Edmonton is averaging 35 shots a game. Like, that's a lot. So basically, if Detroit gets 900 goaltending and Edmonton gets 35 shots, they're scoring 3.5 goals. Like, yeah. And let's, you and I can talk, like, are Draisaitl and McDavid above average shooters?
Well, according to Connor McDavid at All-Star Weekend, actually, he said he's never been an elite scorer. So from the mouth of him.
If you're minus, like, what is it, 400 in the Rocket Richard race in February, I feel like you might be an elite shooter, don't you think?
Yeah, I think he might be lying a little bit there. But yeah, no, like this, as we know, the Edmonton Oilers are an incredible offensive team. I would smash the over on that.
offensive juggernaut, if you will. But I think it's also important to point out, like, Detroit started off the season. They were super loosey-goosey, like, woof, not great. But over the past few weeks, tightened up. They're second best in shots against per game. So they've actually, like, really tightened the screws a little bit. And I went back and looked, and they're still struggling against teams that play stylistically similar to Edmonton, which is why I like this spot here. We don't know who the starting goaltender is, but whatever the over is on saves there, 27, 28, I'd probably take that. That's got some value. I would expect that Edmonton's going to come firing out of the gate. You talked about how, like, Leon Draisaitl, you were at All-Star Weekend. He wasn't happy with his first half, right?
Shockingly, he said he was not happy with his play in the first half. So we could be seeing, and keep in mind, this is a guy who was second in NHL scoring. We could be seeing an even better Leon Draisaitl coming up here.
Yeah, that's terrifying to think about. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, like, Edmonton's power play in the last five games, 41%.
Yeah, it's not.
That's insane. So I feel like you probably know where I'm going with this one. McDavid Draisaitl power play points?
Yeah, maybe smash that.
I would probably take a look at that. I mean, Detroit's penalty kill is nothing special. And the Edmonton power play of late is what I would classify as extremely special. If you add up the Edmonton power play in the last five games and the Vancouver penalty kill this season, you get like 103%, because that's how bad Vancouver's penalty kill is, and that's how good Edmonton's power play has been. Remarkable. So, yeah, it's kind of wild to think about. So, yeah, the McDavid Draisaitl power play point. Another guy that I like the power play point on that kind of has some value is Zach Hyman. He's either banging in goals, or he's getting the puck retrievals to get it back to McDavid, which is equally terrifying because then everybody's out of position. So for me, that's an area that I would absolutely key on in this game.
Guys on pace for like 100 points. It's nuts. All right. Individual shot props.
Yeah. So, one kind of area that I think could be a target is Dylan Larkin. So Dylan Larkin is going to be a UFA. It, from all of the reporting, it kind of feels like, it seems like he feels as if he's getting the short end of the stick. Bo Horvat just got $8.5 million. I'm not suggesting Dylan Larkin should get $8.5 million, but I feel like he might be a little bit motivated in the second half to kind of show Steve Yzerman, like, hey, I am worth the money that I say that I'm worth. So for me, it starts tonight, over 2.5 shots. He's got speed. He kind of plays a style where he can make the Oilers defenseman pay. I'm looking at that. I'm also looking at Filip Hronek. He likes to shoot the puck. He's really good at getting it through and on net. Him at over 2.5 shots. That's got some good value for me, especially at plus money. I'm looking at that. And then the guy we just talked about, Zach Hyman, whether he's picking up rebounds or he's getting to the net himself, 3+ shots on net, that's a good one for me. 3.5, not a ton of value there unless you can get it at plus money.
Very good. All right, let's go to Seattle and the New York Islanders. The second game of the Bo Horvat era is going to be taking place tonight. This is a back-to-back situation, though, so this is going to be very interesting. Rachel, take us through it.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, New York played last night. They beat Philadelphia 2-1, very low-scoring game. It was a good game, though. Like, there was some legit battles in that game. New York finally scored a power play goal. What a concept that is. You put a weapon like Bo Horvat there, and all of a sudden. But Seattle's got some money line value here. They're still tops in the Pacific Division. Like, they're one of the best teams, at least for my money, in the West. So they've got value. If you can get them at minus 115 or better, that is absolutely a spot that I'm looking at.
Very cool. All right. Seattle doesn't give up a ton of shots.
No, they do not. They're very good defensively.
Yeah. So how could that potentially influence me as a bettor putting money down in this game?
Do you know who Josh Bailey is, Mike?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay. I would take him under 2.5 shots. He's perpetually been going under of late. Lane Lambert seems to be bouncing him up between like the Barzal line and then the press box and the fourth line. So it's really dependent on like how Lane Lambert's feeling. And it happens on a shift to shift basis when it comes to like the fourth line or the first line. I'm looking at him to go under the number. He's been trending under the entire season. I think there's value there. So that's what I'm looking at. However, Bo Horvat has been a volume shooter all year. He had 4 shots last night. I would expect that he's going to have 2 to 3 shots tonight. I think there's value on the line at 2.5. So I am going to take Horvat. He's coming off that big contract extension. He's going to want to show the New York Islander fans in their first home game to see him, what he's all about. So I'd expect a very good game from Bo Horvat tonight. The Islanders are actually, they're pretty stingy. But the one area they give up a ton of shots is from the defense. And Vince Dunn's having a fantastic year this year. And so for me, I look at him over 1.5 shots is the line. Some places have it at 2.5. Honestly, I'd take both. I think he's probably going to get 3. But if you can get him at over 1.5, I would smash that bet.
Absolutely. I mean, look, Bo Horvat is trying to prove to New York Islanders fans that his extension is not too long and too much money. As the guy who signed that contract said it was. All right, Vegas and Nashville.
Oh, no, we're not done with Seattle.
Oh, we're not done. I thought
no,
we were.
No, I got more.
Continue, Rachel. I'm so sorry.
We came with the research today. We come with the research every day. Both teams, you know how we talked about like being good defensively?
Mm-hmm.
Both teams are averaging less than 2.5 goals, like offensively, and they're pretty good defensively. The game, like, I think it's a good under target. The under is set at 5.5 right now. And if both teams are averaging scoring less than 2 a game, and Seattle's really good defensively, and that guy named Ilya Sorokin may or may not be playing.
He will be playing. Farlamov started last night, so Sorokin's injured,
to me, this has got some value, especially like I saw at some places it was even at 6. First of all, that's like an auto bet for me, but 5.5, I think, with teams that are they're struggling to score, they're pretty good defensively. It like the Islanders have an awful power play, Seattle has an awful penalty kill, so it's kind of just like an immovable object meets stoppable force, right? So for me, I'm looking at the under in this game. I don't think there's going to be a lot of goals here.
Very cool. All right. Are we okay to move on to the next game now?
Oh, yeah. We're ready.
Okay, cool. Vegas and Nashville, probably the most even game of this. Two teams that are fighting to stay in the playoff race. Take us through it.
Yeah, they're relatively even odds tonight. I would say keep an eye out. If Logan Thompson is starting, I would probably lean Vegas. I don't like the combination of Aiden Hill versus UC Saros. That seems like it could be a recipe for an L, but I do believe Vegas has value if Logan Thompson is starting. I mean, he just came back from All-Star. All depends on what Bruce Cassidy wants to do. I would have to think that John Hines and Bruce Cassidy are going to go with their starters, given that they are in the thick of the playoff kind of race. Like, this isn't a situation where, like, let's say you're Carolina or you're Columbus, where you can kind of maybe take it easy on your all-star guys. I think this is a situation where both all-star goalies, they need to start. So I would say if Logan Thompson is starting, I would take Vegas.
Very cool. Now, there's some interesting players involved, obviously, in this game. For two teams that are somewhat, you know, lagging lately, I mean, you got on one side, you got Forsberg and Niederreiter, on the other side, you got Eichel, Kessel, Marchessault. So take us through some individual player performances here.
Yeah, so both teams are averaging 32 shots a game or more, and they're giving up more than 31 shots a game. So you're looking at what is likely to be a 65-shot game.
Whew.
I'm expecting, now what's interesting is I've just said that both of those teams are in the top half of the league in goals against in January. Which means they're giving up a lot of shots and not giving up a lot of goals. So does that mean they have good goaltending?
I would say so.
Right. Okay. So I think for me, talk about the players, but from the goalie perspective, I think this is a case where both goalies at, like, if the number is like 27.5 saves, both goalies have value there. Because I'm expecting like probably 32, 33 shots aside in a relatively offensive game. And I think the goalies are going to be good. So for me, I like the goalie saves here, but if we're going to have saves, it means we got to have shots, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the way the world works.
That's kind of how that works. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, Philip Forsberg and Nino Niederreiter on one side. I would keep a close eye on Tanner Janot as well. If he's on the fourth line, I'd stay away from him. But if he's up kind of in the top nine and getting more time, then I would consider betting on him, but wait till those lines come out. Philip Forsberg at 3.5, Nino Niederreiter at 2.5. I think that they're probably going to go over the number here, but if you want to be safe, you can take them at 3+ and 2+ respectively. Mm-hmm. But I would have to think that in a high shooting game that's going to have a low scoring affair, they're going to be throwing a ton of pucks on net just to kind of see what works and what doesn't. And Forsberg and Niederreiter are two of those guys. I would bet actually the under on Roman Josi. His under is currently, the line is at 3.5 right now. And I think that they are going, Vegas does a really good job of kind of protecting from the top. And so I think that Josi is going to have issues, not only getting shot attempts, but also getting shots through. But Vegas blocks a lot of shots, whether it's Petrangelo, McNabb. So I think we might have value on the under there.
Very cool. All right. Are we able to move on to the final game?
Well, we gotta touch Vegas, right?
Yeah.
We got to touch Vegas. So you got Eichel, you got Marchessault. They're playing on the same line. Mm-hmm. That line shoots the lights out all the time.
Yeah.
And then you've got Phil Kessel, who noted Mikey Stevens, his favorite player. Yeah. So I got to throw in a Kessel bet here, don't I?
In honor of me, I'd really appreciate that. I mean, that's really thoughtful of you, Rachel.
Yeah, so Vegas's bottom six is deeper and more controlling of the puck than Nashville's is. So you're talking about guys like Keegan Kolesar, Nick Waugh, and Phil Kessel plays in that bottom six. And if those guys are controlling play, guess who's shooting the puck?
Oops.
It's Phil Kessel.
William J. Kessel?
Yes. Yeah. So Phil Kessel's line in some places is 1.5. That is something I would be taking for sure. I think that he plays on the power play, so he's going to get those cookies there. But I think that Vegas's bottom six will outplay Nashville's bottom six, at least on paper, they are better. But up top, you've got Eichel and Marchessault, who are two players that just, they love to shoot the puck. They're volume shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that kind of coming out of All-Star break, they're going to be rejuvenated. They need to make that push for the playoffs. They don't have Mark Stone anymore. Somebody's got to pick up the Mark Stone shooting slack. And who better than the two best volume shooters? So I'm looking at Eichel and Marchessault. Eichel 3.5, Marchessault 2.5. I think they're both going over the number there.
We're also looking at an Eichel who got publicly called out by his coach right before the All-Star break. He might be pretty motivated to rectify that situation maybe. So,
yeah, I mean, if I really lotto this, like Eichel to score a goal.
Very cool. All right. And the Bedard Bowl. We have the final game on the slate here is Anaheim and Chicago, two just objectively terrible teams. But, you know, one does have, or at least both have some interesting players here to maybe make this interesting. There are some offensive weapons in here. Let's break it down. You know, we talked about riverboat hockey this entire time. Anaheim as a team, that is their bread and butter.
Poor John Gibson. My goodness. I mean, Mike, are you going to watch Colorado-Pittsburgh, or are you going to watch Anaheim-Chicago?
I'm probably going to watch the game with the teams who are, like watchable.
Okay.
And that's not the game we're talking about right now.
Right. So I feel like this game will be entertaining for all the wrong reasons. Like you said, Anaheim plays river hockey. Like, they take a ton of shots, and they give up an average of 40 shots a game. Is that bad?
I don't even know how to answer like that.
That might be bad.
So many shots, Rachel.
Like, oh my gosh, it's remember when like Canada played Latvia in the Olympics and Christos Gudlevskis was just like on the ground? Except
John Gibson doesn't stop that many shots.
That's true. So Anaheim is on a back-to-back. They played last night. And Chicago gives up a ton of shots, which, like, who could have thought? But they don't take a lot. Now, I feel like that's probably because they're playing better teams than them, because almost everybody is better than Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this is maybe an opportunity where Chicago, they might get 30 or 32 shots. But either way, like, Anaheim gives up a ton and they take a ton. So I'm targeting Anaheim players. But I mean, both teams, like, they score and give up more than 3 goals a game. Like, so they're playing river hockey as like a shtick at this point. I feel like the over 6.5 here is probably a pretty good bet, especially with Anaheim being on the back to back. That's probably pretty good. The goalie saves, I mean, what did we just talk about? Like, yeah. I don't know who's in net for Anaheim tonight, but that poor man is going to be really, really tired.
Yeah.
And I think that whoever's in net for Chicago tonight is going to be the same. So I would look at probably over 28.5, over 27.5, whatever the line is. Yeah, I'd be taking that for the Chicago and the Anaheim goalies. And specifically, so we've got Adam Henrique, Frank Vetrano, and Troy Terry as the primary shooters on Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Adam Henrique and Frank Vetrano have kind of had this like surge of late. And they were given All-Star and the bye week off. So yeah. they're buzzing. They looked good last night, shooting the puck. And so I'm looking at them. I believe they're both set at 2.5. That has value to me. Like we said, Chicago gives up a ton. They also give up a ton from the wings, and that is where those two players are playing. To be fair, Chicago gives up shots from everywhere. Troy Terry, he's coming off an All-Star back-to-back. He didn't look great last night. Mm-hmm. So he's somebody where I would stay away from him, or if anything, I might bet the under. Because having All-Star weekend and then a back-to-back right away, I actually wouldn't be surprised if they just rested him. It's not like they're in a playoff fight. So we'll see what happens there. But then on the flip side, you've got Patrick Kane, Max Domi, and Seth Jones, who are, they lead the Blackhawks in shots this year. Patrick Kane's at over 3.5, Domi at 2.5, Jones at 2.5. I don't think the Kane line has a ton of value unless you can get it at plus money, in which case I would seriously consider it. But the Domi and Jones lines I really like. I think that Anaheim gives up shots from anywhere and everywhere and all the time. So to me, anytime you can get primary shooters at plus money, I'm sold.
I do, just a note on Troy Terry, I do believe that he did get hurt last night. So it's unclear whether or not he'll even be playing. So
okay,
you could just rest him for that reason.
Right. I would honestly be resting him for that reason. You don't have anything to play for. I saw that he got banged up and then I thought he came back. So I thought he was going to be okay. And so I guess we'll see, but that's an even bigger reason. So if Terry's playing, and I don't think he should be, I'd be betting the under then. And that's even more reason to take Henrique and Vetrano, because if Terry is out or even has an injury of sorts, they're going to be the one shooting the puck.
Absolutely. All right, Rachel. Well, that's the Tuesday night slate of games that we just obviously locked up. As we say, bet responsibly, of course. It's supposed to be something fun. But on that note, I guess we will. I will see you later this week to queue up another phenomenal slate of NHL action as we enter the stretch drive here.
Yes, we will. All right. Yeah, bet responsibly. I don't recommend taking every single bet we went over today. Mm-hmm. I actually abide by the no more than 5 rule. That's usually what I go with. You don't need to give away your money.
Yeah. And I don't think I could have said it any better myself. So if you want to, you know, check out any of the Hockey News podcasts, go to thehockeynews.com/podcasts. All the archives are there. It's lovely. Rachel, I'll see you later this week.
Sounds good. Bye, everyone.